coming up on KUCB News, Trident Seafood's huge processing plant in Acatan reopened Friday, and a two-week federal inquiry into the fatal sinking of the FV Scandies Rose started today in Seattle. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Hope McKenney with some local news on Monday, February 22nd, 2021. Trident Seafood's huge processing plant on the remote Aleutian island of Acatan reopened Friday after a nearly month-long COVID-19 closure. An outbreak at the plant forced the fishing giant to close the facility in late January, just as the lucrative winter season was set to kick off. 45% of Trident's 700-person workforce ultimately tested positive for the virus. Trident said in a statement today that surveillance testing, symptom screenings, and the use of PPE and distancing protocols continue and will remain throughout the season. The company says it's developed additional measures to speed response if the virus is detected again. Those include new shift schedules to limit contact between workers and capacity limits to allow distancing outside of workstations. 115 workers who have been quarantined in Sand Point and Anchorage arrived back in Acatan over the past several days to help with crab and cod processing, the company says. It's preparing to resume pollock processing this week. Trident has faced a number of challenges since the start of the year. In addition to the Acatan shutdown, the virus also hit one of the corporation's massive factory ships as it arrived in Unalaska last month. And last week, another floating processor caught fire while docked at a Washington port. Trident says the vessel is a total loss. Meanwhile, the city of Unalaska reported 11 new cases of the coronavirus on Friday. All are considered industry-related. To date, this marks 638 cases of the virus on the island, nearly 200 of which are currently active. The local risk factor remains high. A two-week federal inquiry into the fatal sinking of the FV Scandies Rose, lost on New Year's Eve 2019 near Kodiak Island, opened today in Seattle. The U.S. Coast Guard and partner agencies are holding a virtual formal hearing to consider evidence related to the sinking of the Dutch harbor-based fishing vessel until March 5th. Two fishermen were rescued wearing Gumby survival suits in a life raft, but five others were never found. The hearing will focus on the conditions before and at the time of the sinking. This will include weather, icing, fisheries, the boat's condition, owner and operator dynamics, the compliance record of the vessel, and testimony from the survivors and others. Captain Gregory Callahan is chair of the Marine Board of Investigation, which was convened to investigate the tragedy. He said during a press conference Friday that around 43 separate witnesses, including other professional mariners and officials from a number of government agencies, are scheduled to testify over the next 2 weeks.
It is an administrative hearing, so this is not criminal in any nature. So it is very much just an administrative proceeding to gather the facts of the case.
The National Transportation Safety Board is still investigating the incident and is joining the Coast Guard in what they call a fact-finding phase. The NTSB will analyze the facts to prepare and publish a separate report. Callahan says the joint inquiry will not conclude the investigation, and it does not rule out future hearings.
This is merely a way that we can put all this information on the record and continue to gather facts surrounding the case. Once we have that, we will go into an in-depth analysis of everything that we've gathered so far, the testimony that we hear at this hearing, and then we will start to come up with some conclusions and develop some potential recommendations with the hope that we can make meaningful recommendations to help prevent further loss of life and improve the safety of the maritime industry.
The full-day hearings are scheduled to convene daily at 7 a.m. Alaska time on weekdays through March 5th. To ensure public access and participation, the hearing will be streamed live each day, and the sessions will also be archived on the web at a later date. To learn more, visit our community calendar at kucb.org. The Coast Guard's sole heavy icebreaker, Polar Star, recently broke the nation's 40-year winter absence from the Arctic Circle's icy waters while on a 12-week deployment to the Bering Strait region. Back at the dock in Juneau, Captain Bill Wojtyra, commander of the Polar Star, proclaimed the mission a success. He describes the three main objectives of their deployment.
The first area of focus and the primary aim was to assert sovereignty over U.S. territory in the Arctic. We were going to project power north of the Arctic Circle and send a message to the rest of the world that the U.S. is an Arctic nation, that the U.S. cares about the Arctic, and that the U.S. will absolutely defend our territory and defend our sovereign resources in this region.
Given the nation's increased geopolitical interest in this Bering Strait choke point and the fact that the institutional knowledge and skill set for navigating the Arctic winter is limited, Wojtyra says training personnel was the second key goal of the mission.
Everybody is interested in this region. Everybody recognizes the strategic importance of the Arctic and Alaska, and everyone is scrambling now to make sure that they have a cadre of operators that are capable and ready to go up and carry out Coast Guard missions and other missions in this region.
In addition to Polar Star's strategic national security and Arctic training objectives, the icebreaker sailed north with scientists and researchers aboard, lessening the void of information from the region, and better understanding how to operate year-round in Arctic waters was their goal. Post-deployment, Captain Wojtyra confirms that the Coast Guard can safely operate in the winter in the Arctic. Over the last several years, government studies have recommended, and the Coast Guard has concurred, that the United States needs three heavy and three medium icebreakers. This will ensure a persistent presence in the polar region. Construction of the first of those heavy cutters is already in progress, following the signing of a $746 million contract with Mississippi's V.T. Halter Marine back in 2019. So, when will Western Alaska see the Coast Guard again? Captain Wojtyra assures that the Coast Guard plans to continue its summer patrols, business as usual, later this year.
We're going to be running the standard Arctic Shield playbook that we've run for the past few years, which includes a seasonal, scalable, mobile presence. We're going to have helicopters forward deployed for search and rescue. We're going to have small boat teams in the right places to make sure that we're ready to respond if anything goes wrong.
Polar Star is now headed to Vallejo, California, where it will be worked on to extend its life by another 4 years, maintaining the Coast Guard's heavy icebreaking capabilities. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Hope McKenney, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts. Thank you.